Acts chapter 25, and we're reading from verse 1. Now when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul, and besought him and desired favour against him, that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying wait in the way to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, and that he himself would depart shortly thither. Let them, therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him. And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove, while he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar have I offended anything at all. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go. It is AD 60, and Paul has been in prison for more than 2 years in Caesarea. And now a new governor has taken over as procurator of Judea. This man is called Festus. And he has taken over from the man that we read about the last time, a man called Felix. So Felix is gone, Paul is still in prison, and Festus has come probably from Rome, and probably in this opening verse that we read together, we might deduce that he has come from Rome, arrived at Caesarea, but not stopped there for very long, just a couple of days, maybe 3 days, we're told, and then he has gone straight from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem was the main city of this province that he was responsible for. And so it seems that immediately he has headed to Jerusalem in order to speak to the leaders of Judea and Samaria, who would be at Jerusalem. So right up to Jerusalem early, the main city of his new domain. And he has come to meet the leader of the leaders of the Jews. But what is interesting is that here is this new procurator, Festus, newly arrived in his province, straight up from Caesarea, and the very first thing that these people talk to him about is that they want Paul judged. They want him silenced. At once they show their hatred for the apostle and for his gospel and for his Lord. Because these three things are bound together as one. When the world hates Christ, it hates his gospel and it hates his church. It hates the message of Christ and it hates the preachers of Christ. It hates the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it hates the people of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan's servants are soon about the business of doing murder. And that, of course, is what Satan is and was from the beginning. He was a liar and he was a murderer. And what small-minded and vile people these were, these religious people in Jerusalem. And we must never imagine that we can ever find common cause with the religion of this world or the religious people of this world. For they will always demand compromise from us. They will demand that we don't speak about Christ. They will demand that we don't preach his gospel. They will demand that we don't uphold all his accomplishments and his sovereignty and his achievements on the cross. And if we do, they will act against us viciously, which is what these people were doing to Paul now. They did not speak to this new ruler of their province about the needs of the people or about the well-being of the nation, but their first and principal purpose was to manipulate Festus and thereby to kill Paul. Now, Festus wisely chose not to do what they said. They were asking that Paul immediately be called up to Jerusalem from Caesarea. So they were saying to Festus, "Festus, you stay here in Jerusalem, send to Caesarea, have Paul brought up, and we will judge him here while you're present in Jerusalem." Really, their plan was to have Paul killed on the road from Caesarea to Jerusalem. But Festus chose not to do that. And probably because he wanted to get back to Caesarea and to find out about the events and circumstances about his new charge there in Caesarea, he wanted to go back. And he rather said to the Jews, "Any of you who want to come with me, any of you who are able, come down to Caesarea with me. I'll bring out Paul and we'll judge him in Caesarea." And that's exactly what happened. And again, as we read last week, perhaps the same people were involved. These false accusations and allegations and claims were made. And we see that Paul was lied against and misrepresented by these religious Pharisees. The gospel and man-made religion will never coexist. One demands self-righteousness from its adherents and its followers, and the other bestows righteousness freely upon the followers of Jesus Christ. And self-righteousness and righteousness cannot live together. We are either righteous in ourselves or we are righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it cannot be both. And again, just as Felix before him, Festus finds no reason to condemn Paul. But he suggests returning Paul to Jerusalem to stand trial before the religious court there in the city. And it may well be that Festus looked at the calendar and he said, "This man's been here for over 2 years. I need to get rid of this problem. I need to deal with this immediately. Having come to the province to take over charge here, I'm going to have to solve this problem at once." So he says to Paul, "What about you go back up to Jerusalem and stand trial there?" Thinking, no doubt, that that was a good way of washing his hands of the problem. But Paul had another idea. Do you remember that the Lord Jesus Christ had come and spoken to Paul and told him that he would preach for him in Rome? So Paul, being bold because of this comforting word from the Lord Jesus Christ, and doubtless inspired by the Lord's promise that he would go to Rome, the faithful apostle appeals to Caesar. Rather than trying to get rid of the problem, Paul says, "No, I am going to appeal to Caesar, which is my right, and I will go to Rome in order to have my case heard at Caesar's courtroom, at his judgment seat." And now, as a Roman citizen, that was Paul's right. And I think that there's a sweet irony here, because it seems as if Paul, by this simple request, had outwitted the Jews. He had outsmarted Festus as well. The Jews were frustrated because they had hoped to kill Paul. But rather, Paul now was going to the highest authority in the whole of the world at that time. And Festus thought that he would get rid of the issue, sweep it under the carpet, never have to think about it again. And rather, Paul is going to Festus's boss, to Festus's manager, and Festus now is going to have to arrange to have Paul sent all the way to the highest court in the land. And so it was that Paul was soon to be on his way to Rome, just as the Lord Jesus Christ had said. Just a prisoner, just a Roman prisoner, a humble prisoner, but with Christ on his side, no match for cruel religion or corrupt government. And there's a lesson here for us, I think. And sometimes when we are young, and sometimes when we are older as well, things seem to move slowly, and move too slowly for the way that we think we would like things to happen. We want things to hurry up, and we wonder why God doesn't act to get things done. But you see, whether we are boys and girls, or men and women, no matter what age we are, we will have to learn in life, in our own lives, and in the lives of those around about us, that everything that happens to us, to our friends, to our family in this world, happens according to the will, purpose, and timing of our God. And we will have to learn that events happen as they do and when they do, because God knows best. His timing is perfect. The Apostle Paul had spent the last 2 years in prison. Now, we might say, would it not have been better if Paul had been preaching the gospel? Would it not have been better if he had been travelling round the churches and perhaps having done his first missionary journey and his second missionary journey and his third missionary journey? He could have done a fourth missionary journey and gone to many more places. Didn't he want to go to Spain? Didn't he want to go to Rome? Wasn't there much that this great apostle could be doing, should be doing? Not simply spending all his time in a room and in a prison, in a cell, in the courtroom there in Caesarea. He could have been saving souls. He could have been building churches. He could have been encouraging the Lord's people. And it's very interesting, I think, that Luke says nothing about these 2 years, except that Felix is gone and Festus is now come. And Paul, though the Lord had told him he would preach for him in Rome, had simply to sit and patiently wait upon the Lord, trusting that the Lord Jesus Christ knows best, that his timing is perfect and his ways are good. As Paul learned that lesson throughout his life, and no doubt on this occasion too, may the Lord be gracious to us and teach us, young and old, that he knows best and his ways are perfect. Thank you very much for listening again this morning.